God is good to us each and every day. He's blessed us on this first day of the week to be able to assemble together in a fashion like this. And I'll tell you, it's encouraging to be here. When the prayers that were led and the songs that were led in such good fashion, the way that you sing them, you did such a good job in blending your voices together and being able to observe the Lord's Supper and remembrance of the Lord's death as He commanded and be able to give a portion of our means. The whole service has been encouraging. So I appreciate each and every one of you for being here. Especially I appreciate those that are visiting with us. We thank you for coming. And we hope that you'll come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. We don't want to do anything, say anything, except we have a book, chapter, and verse for it. The Bible's the authority, not me. No one else here is the authority but Christ and His Word. And so we want to seek to do all things by the authority of Christ. And I'll do my very best in the sermon to give you book, chapter, and verse for the things that I say. I was reading recently the conversion of the eunuch that was just read a moment ago by Brody. And Brody did a fantastic job in reading that scripture, and we appreciate him for doing that. In Acts chapter 8, which is one of the conversion chapters in the book of Acts, there are two examples of conversion in that chapter. That is the people of Samaria, and Simon included in that. And then the conversion that Brody read about, which was the conversion of the eunuch. And the eunuch was a religious man, there's no doubt about that, because the Bible says that he had been to the city of Jerusalem to worship, and he was in his chariot on his way home. And so he had his mind on spiritual things recently. And he believed reading the scriptures, that's what he was doing. He was reading from the book of Isaiah, B.R. Isaiah chapter 53, but he didn't understand what he was reading. And so the Spirit told Philip to go and join himself to that man's chariot. And he did. And Philip serves as one of our examples of a Bible runner. I recently preached that sermon on Bible runners. Philip ran. He didn't walk. He didn't take his time. But you see the urgency in what he was about to do. As at the bidding of the Spirit, he ran to join himself to that chariot. And when he got there, he heard that the eunuch was reading. He heard this man reading. And he asked the question, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Well, like many of us, we may read from the Bible, and we may not understand what we're reading. I don't know everything about the Bible, do you? Sometimes I need to avail myself of every opportunity that I have to better understand the Bible. And so as a result of that, many of you came to Bible class this morning. Or maybe Wednesday night you come to Bible class. Or you'll come back tonight and learn more. But every opportunity to learn and learn more and more about the gospel. How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip to sit with him. And then the Bible says that he was reading from Isaiah and reading a passage that he didn't understand. And the text says that Philip began at the same scripture, opened his mouth, and preached unto him Jesus. And so I want us to think about, as I wrote on the board, when mouths open, Philip opened his mouth. It's important that we open our mouth, or folks are not going to learn the truth. And yet at the same time, when we open our mouth, we've got to be careful. And so I got to thinking about that phrase, that Philip opened his mouth. Well, the first thing that I want to point out to you is that Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. It's a sad state of affairs, but it's the reality that there's a lot of preaching today, but not much gospel preaching. A lot of men are not busy about preaching about Jesus. They're preaching about self. They're preaching about what I think, how I feel, what I think it ought to be. Or some experience that they had, or some joke, or some story that won't save anyone, much less get them to heaven. But Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Why Jesus? He's the Savior of the world. No doubt about that. Matthew 1 verse 21. We could spend the entire hour this morning, the rest of our time together, thinking about why I preach about Jesus Christ. But there is no forgiveness of sins except through Jesus Christ. Acts 4 and in verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Only through Christ. It is through His shed blood that we have the forgiveness of our sins, of which I'm thankful for. I just preached to you last week. Thankful. Remember that acrostic sermon? Some things we're thankful for. The F in thankful we use for forgiveness. I'm thankful for the forgiveness of God that I didn't deserve. But God in His love, compassion, long-suffering, and mercy grants us forgiveness through Christ's shed blood, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. I'm thankful for that. And so we need to be busy about preaching Christ. When Paul wrote to those at Corinth in 1 and 2 Corinthians, he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and then verse 2 and said, I determine not to know anything among you. You know the rest of that? Say Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul determined that where he went, where he would go, that he would preach the gospel of Christ. Indeed, he did, because we had the conversion of those at Corinth in Acts chapter 18. When it's summed up in Acts 18 verse 8, by saying many of the Corinthians hearing believed were baptized. Paul preached, they heard it, they believed it, they obeyed it by being immersed into Christ. When mouths are open, when we open our mouth, we ought to preach Christ. Do you agree? But there are some other things I want to share with you. I think we can, all of us can relate to these, the importance of them, and how important it is for us to mind what we say and use our words wisely. You know, the Lord stated in the book of Matthew, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. For every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. So words are important. What you say, what I say, is important. Number two, when mouths open, they ought to speak sound doctrine. I take that from Titus chapter 2 and then verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. If the Bible admonishes me and instructs me to teach sound doctrine, what does that necessarily imply? That there's false doctrine. Because He's saying, speak sound doctrine. Therefore, I may not speak sound doctrine. I may be saying something that's not right. And a lot of people speak false doctrine. Now, I won't make a mistake on purpose, but I'm not perfect. I won't miss the mark on purpose, but I may very well get something wrong. That's why I don't want you to believe what I say simply because I say it. You can't do that. The most valuable possession you possess is your soul. Because you are in control of where you'll spend eternity. And if I'm wrong, if the preacher's wrong, and you believe hook, line, sinker what I say, where does that leave you? You're wrong too. No wonder the Lord said, the blind lead the blind, let them alone rather, the blind lead the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. If the preacher's wrong and he's lost come the day of judgment, and you believe what he has said, then you'll be condemned come the judgment as well. And you cannot afford to do that. I can't either. And so therefore, I must speak sound doctrine. Someone may ask the question, why on earth do you folks in the Church of Christ spend all your time on book, chapter, verse preaching? Because of Titus 2, verse 1 and other passages. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And the reality is you can't believe everything you hear. I wish you could, but you can't. And we're admonished in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try. That word try in the King James Version means test, prove. Try the spirits, whether they be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. And so you need to test what's being stated. And in 2 Peter 2, verse 2, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall also be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So don't believe what everyone tells you. It may be wrong. Search the Scriptures. Like the Lord said in John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. Get to searching. Or in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. Get to studying. Have that noble characteristic that the Bereans had when the Bible says concerning them in Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. The Bereans were more noble. Well, why were they more noble? Because they received with all readiness of mind what was spoken. Search the Scriptures daily to see if that was so. So you're listening to me this morning. You may hear something that you've never heard before. I don't know. How are you going to know if it's right or wrong? Go home and read the Bible and see if I've told you the truth. Search the Scriptures. But when mouths are open, we've got to speak sound doctrine. I can't help but to think about when Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1, I marvel, verse 6 began, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him. Now there's folks in the world today that will tell you once you become a Christian, you can't be removed. Well, take it up with Paul in Galatians chapter 1, which means you'd have to take it up with God who gave it to Paul. When Paul said, I marvel, and he's writing to Christian people, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him who called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, he says, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert. Pervert means to twist, to wrangle, to pervert the gospel, to adulterate the gospel, but there be some that would pervert the gospel. He says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. But also, when mouths open, we need to speak the truth. And I don't solely mean just simply the gospel, but I mean our words need to be truth as opposed to lies. We need to make sure we don't lie to people. You want to think about something that will tear people down? That's lies, gossip, and rumors. And the world is full of people who thrive off those kinds of things, not it being named not one time among us, that we lie, rumor, and gossip about other people. No wonder in James chapter 3, when James was discussing the power of the tongue, and he talked about the tongue was such a small member, and yet it boasts great things. And he says, behold what great a matter a little fire kindleth. He talks about the beasts of the field, they've been tamed to man, but he says, no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And then he says, therewith, that is with the tongue. Notice what he says. Therewith, that's with the tongue we bless God, and with the tongue we curse men that are made after the image or the similitude of God. He says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. We need to speak the truth. Paul said, wherefore, let every man put away lying, speak truth with his neighbor. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 25. And the wise man said, I will speak truth. Proverbs 8 and in verse 7, will you say that? Will I say that? What I say to you, I say to me first. Do I speak truth? When we open our mouth, we need to speak truth. A lying tongue, by the way, is on the list of things that the Bible says God hates, Proverbs chapter 6. And it has eternal consequences. According to Revelation 20, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. So we need to speak truth. You agree? But also in line with that, when mouths are open and we speak truth, we need to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4 and in verse 15. Love ought to be what motivates us to be willing to share the truth with other people. Not just to simply win an argument for argument's sake. Not to offend somebody just because we want to offend someone or because we want to make them mad. But because we love them and we know that they have a soul that was created in the image of God. And their soul will one day spend an eternity either in the joys of heaven or the awfulness of a place called hell. And we don't want to go to hell. We want to go to heaven, right? And so we want to share it with others in the hope that they'll go to heaven when life is over. So we need to have love for their soul. We need to have love for God to do what He says because He says to teach it. And we need to have love for truth's sake, that we'll share it because we know how powerful truth is. Speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. And when mouths are open, they need to speak good. I recently shared this with you, but it bears repeating from Ephesians 4 and in verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Someone may say, preacher, what does it mean to have corrupt communication? We understand what corrupt is. When something is corroded, corrupt, it's rottenness, it's not good. But he tells us, the Bible's its own best commentary, he tells us what corrupt communication is because he sets a contrast in that verse. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. And so, you've got good and corrupt set forth in the passage. Now watch how he qualifies what good communication is. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, favor. Edify means to build up, to encourage. And so when we open our mouth, let us not tear people down. Don't discourage people, but encourage people. Don't be a wrecker, be a builder. You agree with that? You want to be a wrecker or a builder? I'm sure the room is filled with people that want to build others up, right? You know, you've got multiple opportunities to do that this morning. One, you've already accomplished that through the singing, teach and admonish one another. Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. But you've got a host of other opportunities to encourage others. We've got a good group that's assembled out this morning. So how about before you leave the building, you speak to someone, especially our visitors, and let them know you're thankful that they're here and you want them to come back. Encourage. But that which is good to the use of edifying. How about encouraging the one that had the announcements? Garrett, you did a good job. The ones that led a prayer, read the scripture reading, served on the Lord's Supper. Jacob did such a good job in the leading of the singing. You've got all kinds of opportunities to encourage people and build them up, to provoke them to keep on keeping on, because everybody needs some encouragement. All of us do, from youngest to oldest. How about encourage the little kids, which I'm thankful for. There's not a kid one that's here this morning I'm not thankful for. And by the way, you never disturb my preaching. Most of the time when people say, you know what, if my kid got a little, most of the time I don't even hear it. I'm too busy about preaching. I'm thankful for the kids that we have, which is the future of the church here at Mill Street. And we're blessed to have so many young people. And I'm thankful for that. Speak the truth in love. Speak good. But also, as you think about when mouths open, we need to open our mouth and give an answer. If you believe something, if you practice something, if you teach something, how important do you think it is that you're able to prove it by the Bible? You think that's pretty important for us to be able to say, you know what, this is what I believe. Most of the people you run to in the religious world, who though they're religiously minded, don't have a clue why they believe what they believe. It may be because the preacher said so, or it may be because, well, we've always done that. Or, you know what, I really don't know why I believe that. I guess I've always believed that. Most people don't know why they believe what they do. We have to know why we believe it. Because if I don't know why I believe it, folks, I don't know whether or not it's even right according to the Bible. So I need to be ready to give an answer for what I believe. So you come to places like 1 Peter chapter 4 and then verse 15. 3 and then verse 15 rather. 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in thy heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready to answer someone. Someone says, preacher, why? I noticed this morning you guys didn't have musical instruments, mechanical musical instruments. Why did you guys just sing? Be ready to answer them. Preacher, I noticed you guys did what you called the Lord's Supper. What was in those trays? Why did you guys do that? Can you answer them? We need to be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is in us. Preacher, you say that Christians are going to heaven and you're going to heaven. Why do you believe that? Let me show you. You say Jesus is the Savior of the world. Let me show you. And base all that we say on the Scriptures. For what saith the Scriptures, Romans chapter 4 and in verse 3. So we need to be able to give a book, chapter, and verse, which ought to be the order of the day for what we say. In 1 Peter 4 verse 11, our next point. Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pen, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That word oracles means an utterance. If any man speak, let him speak as the utterances of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. So when mouths open, we need to speak as the oracles of God. That means speak what God speaks. Now that does not mean, well, last night the Lord laid on my heart. Not so. Not so. Well, God came to me and told me, not so. Because all God has told man today is found in the Bible. The Bible is God's complete final revelation to man. I know so because Jude verse 3 and 2 Peter 1, 3 says so. Those verses won't allow for a latter day revelation. When it says God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now if there's still things that He's given us that pertains to life and godliness, then the Bible can't contain all, can it? So, if I speak as the oracles of God, if I speak as God would have me to speak, then I've got to speak what God has revealed in the Bible. Without addition, without subtraction, we dare not add to or take from the Bible. Deuteronomy 4:2 and Revelation 22:18 and 19 puts woes on individuals that would do that, not departing to or turning to the right or the left. Consequences, I should say, in those passages. In Psalm 119, 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. So when mouths open, we need to speak as God would have us to speak as revealed in His word. One more point. When mouths open, we need to speak all the words of this life. Taken from Acts 5 and then verse 20. The apostles were in prison. They were threatened, don't teach in the name of Christ anymore. They said, we can't but speak and teach the things which we have heard and seen. We ought to obey God rather than man, they said. So they were put in prison, but then they were released from prison by an angel of the Lord. And they were told, you go and you stand in the temple and you teach all the words of this life to the people. Acts 5 and then verse 20. When we open our mouth, we need to be busy about teaching people what they must do to become a Christian. How to live the life of a Christian. That when life is over, they can go to heaven when it's all said and done. The finality of it all. That they can stand before Christ on the day of judgment and hear those words, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. John 8 and in verse 32. You may be here this morning. I hope that the lesson has benefited all of us to think about when mouths open. Philip began at the same scripture, opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. You may be here this morning and have never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You're not a Christian. Not in the family of God. You don't have forgiveness of your sins because you never obeyed the gospel. No hope of an eternity in heaven when life is over. But you've heard this sermon. And you may say, preacher, you know what? I want to become a Christian. I do want to go to heaven. I do want my sins forgiven by the blood of Christ. What must I do? Well, I dare not tell you to do anything other than what the Bible says to do. The only way to become a Christian is to do what they did in Bible days to become a Christian. And if you do what they did, you'll become what they became. Right? Well, what did they do? They heard the gospel. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. They believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 8, verse 24. They repented, that is, they stopped doing wrong as they turned unto God, changed their mind about what they'd been doing to do what's right. That's called repentance. Without which we'll perish, the Lord said, Luke 13, 3 and 5. They confessed their faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In fact, if you read the entirety of Acts chapter 8 with the conversion of the eunuch, after being taught about Christ, the Bible says they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Now watch the confession that he made with his own mouth. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the confession you can make this morning, that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and then verse 38. And when you do that, every sin you've ever committed will be washed away by the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5. And the Lord Himself will add you to the church of Christ that He built. Acts 2 verse 47 that He built. Matthew 16:18, purchased with His own blood. Acts 20 verse 28. Folks, I can't offer you anything better than that this morning. And you may be here this morning, you may say, "Preacher, I've done that in the past, but I've not been faithful as I should. But I want to come home. I want to be restored and start anew." Like the psalmist declared when he said, "Restore in me, O Lord, the joy of Thy salvation." You can have the joy of God's salvation anew if you'll come back to God. He wants you to come back, and we do too. Repenting of your unfaithfulness, making confession to God in prayer. 1 John 1:9, we'll pray with you and for you. There's no reason to delay. Come right now.